Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Almost everything is in place. The pitching has been great, whether it's the rotation, whether it's the bullpen. Alonso's been on fire. Lindor, a fast start. Vientos starting to get it going. Nimmo got it going yesterday. Everything is in place. Just one thing missing, BT, which is preventing me from going all in over the top excitement about this team so far, and that would be Juan Soto.
Okay, so your partner did a little homework assignment here during the break. Yes. I was hard at work. We didn't talk usually. We BS yep. during the breaks here. I had my nose down and my head down. I was doing a bunch of stuff because I'm trying to figure out, does Soto get locked in by doing the shuffle, or does the shuffle lock him in? And I think it's probably more the former. Like when he's feeling good, that's when it's just naturally flowing from his body. Now, I jokingly said, you know, I would love for somebody, John Boy, one of those great outlets, not that they're going to do it, but to go through, you know, every single season, basically every pitch he's ever seen as a pro, going back to when he was 19 years old and he won the World Series. And what's the shuffle meter? Like, how many shuffles did he have a year ago?
Right, like,
how
is this normal?
Yeah.
Is this par for the course?
Is there a thread? Like, is it because he's not hitting like he usually does? Are there fewer or whatever? Well, here's what your partner came up with. I couldn't even finish the job because there was a lot more to go. So I went through, and it's about a 5-minute compilation on YouTube that I found. 65 at-bats in the postseason.
65 in the postseason from what year?
2019.
Okay.
Starting with the wild card with the Brewers. They played the Dodgers and the DS, as you recall. Yep. Then it was the Cardinals. Then it was the Astros in the World Series. I am up to 57 shuffles, and there's a minute and a half left of YouTube stuff. And when I say it's a quick compilation, it's like, here's the pitch, there's the shuffle. Maybe 2 seconds of commentary.
So 57, next pitch shuffle. 57 shuffles in how many games?
57. I have the at bats. That's more important.
Yeah, yeah.
65 at bats.
Right.
So if I was able to finish this assignment, he's going to have by far. This is ridiculous that we're even talking about. Yeah. You never know.
But
he's going to have more shuffles than he had at bats.
Right. And he's got 105 at bats so far this year with the Mets.
And we've seen what, 9 or 10?
I mean,
about maybe.
I would probably say under that. But
I probably would too.
So there is something to it.
I don't know if I missed a few early. But, yeah. You know.
The point is, there is something to it. Will Sound of the Athletic wrote a column today asking Soto about the Soto shuffle, saying it takes a lot to get to the shuffle. He's just not feeling it, or he's got to get to feeling it. We'll see it again, but right now it's not a thing. Paraphrasing, check the article out for yourself, but there were quotes in there with Soto saying that he needs to be feeling it to be able to do the shuffle, which would say, okay, well, he's definitively not feeling it, and then that leads us to why. So you can look at the average, and you can look at the on-base, and you can look at the OPS and say that it's down, and it is. But to me, that is the biggest concern or just question mark. Why is he not, quote, feeling it? to a point where he could be himself and do that shuffle, and that leads to some speculation that maybe people don't want to hear. I don't think it's because he's unhappy. I do think it's because he's pressing. That's what the first thing I said was several weeks ago. I could see Soto. It felt like he was pressing.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly something is going on with Juan Soto.
I'll tell you what it's not, because now I didn't watch him every night in San Diego, obviously. Didn't watch him every night in the Nationals. Just really when Mets played the Nationals back in the day where they had a playoff game. But I'll tell you one thing that's definitely not. It's not that there was this, you know, it's not like Queens is stuffy. Because the Yankees have loosened up some of their policies with the facial hair, et cetera. But the general thought, and I felt this, and one of my criticisms of the Yankees over the years was that they became two Brooks brothers, which is part of the appeal because it's very marketable and their branding is platinum, but a little too stuffy. And maybe certain players weren't, like Giambi when he got cut the hair, can't kind of, you know, do what he wants to do. And I think that it's been a little bit of a deterrent for some great players to either come here or perform at their best when they're here. I think that's changed a little bit, but the Mets culture is not like it's stuffy and he's suffocating. Because if he was able to do that with the Yankees a year ago, the Mets are a little more loose. I don't mean in terms of being sloppy, but I mean just in general how they comport themselves. So it's not that
less buttoned up, more looser.
That's what I'm saying.
Should be fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is it too?
No. I think that's unfair to the Mets to say that it's too unbuttoned.
No, for him.
That's why Juan Soto.
No, I'm saying for him.
Juan Soto's gonna have to get over it because I think you're only gonna get more of that at Citi Field, where they try to make the experience better.
And everybody else is thriving in that environment. Except for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Is it something to do with the contract where he doesn't feel comfortable?
That could be it.
Is it the teammates that aren't welcoming in?
No, I don't think that at all.
Well, because remember, the reason why I say that is the Yankees had the captain and Judge who went to him specifically and said, hey, we got you. Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. You're one of the guys. Be yourself. We got you. And that went a long way. That was reported. Andy Martino talked about that.
Yeah.
So that is a fact. That is not speculation. That is a fact. And yet with the Mets, now it's not a knock, it's just the reality. Was there somebody that went to him and said, hey, don't worry about it, be yourself, we got you? Or is it like, oh, you're the $765 million man, figure it out, go out there and perform. We're doing our thing here, you're the new guy in town. Is it a welcoming environment? I have no idea, that's total speculation. But I do know that Judge went to him and said, we got you, don't worry about it, be yourself. And I don't know if that's happened with the Mets yet.
Well, I mean, I don't know either, but I would think that it was a very welcoming culture. I mean, you tell me Lindor doesn't play loose and play with style? I mean, Vientos is out there with a chain that's about as wide as Run DMC used to wear. He's being himself as a young kid. Of course Juan Soto's going to be himself.
But there's a difference of being himself and having somebody saying, hey, welcome to the team, go be yourself, don't worry about trying to live up to the pressure of the contract or this or that.
I honestly...
Should be on Lindor.
I was going to say, I'd be stunned if Lindor... Now, however he approached that and addressed it in his own way, I would be stunned if he didn't. That's why we're all sitting here saying Lindor's the captain. I guarantee that was taken care of.
From Lindor's perspective, you're looking at Soto as, I mean, Juan Soto's the man. When you get a contract like he got, he's the man. Is Lindor the type of... I don't know. Again, I know he's the leader of this team and maybe eventual captain of this team. Does he have enough cachet to go up to Juan Soto and calm him down or tell him to be comfortable? I don't know.
At the start or when he's scuffling?
Judge did and does, and you understand why.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, though, do you mean at the beginning or maybe now, although he's starting to hit a little bit better?
I'd leave him alone.
Okay, when he first got there?
Yes, the time to do that was before.
I guarantee he was welcoming. Again, I can't prove it, but I there's no way Lindor wasn't.
Remember, just you put yourself in their shoes. You're on a team that's having success. You were the guy, and now all of a sudden, here comes the new guy in town.
You think jealousy? Jealousy?
I don't know. I'm just saying human, not professional. Human nature. Look, BT, here's the bottom line.
I don't think Lindor's like that, but go ahead.
Me neither, but I don't know. We're going to speculate and create speculation because something is clearly off with
Understood.
It.
I got
now,
no problem doing
now,
it.
Now, while saying that nobody's worried about him performing eventually, but if he's not feeling himself, that to me is forget his average or his on base. All that's the most important thing is him being that confident self. And for whatever reason so far, Juan Soto has not been that by his own admission.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to figure it out because, maybe the Mets do, 29? Maybe they do start 40-18 or 60-27 or 80-36 if I did that math right. Maybe that happens. Maybe this is reminiscent of the 86 Mets and they pump out 108 wins. Maybe.
Right.
I would say that's probably not going to happen. I think at some point, whether it's the starting pitching or the, and I really do like this team, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they're not the 86 Mets. I don't think they're constructed that way. The bullpen's getting a little leaky here. I would think some tired arms, whatever it might be. Pete not hitting 340 on the year, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a downtick in performance from multiple guys at the same time because it's baseball. And that means at some point the Mets will lose 7 of 12. Well, maybe not 7. Maybe that's a little bit much. Maybe they could avoid that. But 3 of 5, 4 of 8. And if that happens, or when that happens, and Soto is pedestrian, that's when he's going to get hit.
Yeah,
that's when he's going to feel it.
And that's going to be a problem.
That's why he better make sure he's ready to answer the bell. When he took that kind, and by the way, if he would have stayed with the Yankees for that money,
yeah,
it would have been the same pressure. Maybe a little different because there was equity from a year where he hit 40 home runs and 109 ribbies last year and got to the World Series and played great in the World Series. So Yankee fans would have given him that latitude to find himself with the contract. He hasn't done a damn thing yet for the Mets. And I think Mets fans have been very patient. I understand your position, but that patience expires after a while. He's going to have to start hitting, especially if they stop winning.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steve is in New Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Stevie?
I know your job is to make the phones ring, and you obviously got this guy to make a call, but it's such a ridiculous discussion. I mean, I don't mean to be insulting.
That's all right, good.
Why isn't he doing the shuffle? Because the guy has high expectations. I'm a Yankee fan who respects the fact that he just doesn't go through the histrionics when he's not feeling it. He has high expectations for himself, and he's just not feeling locked in. We all see it. We know when he's locked in. And, I mean, when it comes. But I give him credit, actually, for not just going through it. And why isn't he? Well, he could be pressing. He's a man. Monster contract. And you know what? It's April 29th. So there's a lot of factors. So I respect the fact that he's just not doing his little shuffle thing to make it appease everybody or just to...
It's not... But no. But, Steve, you're missing the entire point. It's not to appease everybody. It's not to appease everybody. Juan Soto has not been himself. A, he has not been himself, whether it's his confidence or the shuffle. B, he has not been himself as far as numbers go.
Are you concerned about that now, literal?
No. I very, very clearly, I've made it very clear that I'm not concerned or worried about it, but it is frustrating and annoying. I mean, it's 30 games so far. You saw as a Yankee fan how he started out for the Yankees. I was excited for Juan Soto to do that same thing with the Mets, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, well,
I so think and if your point is, well, then why talk about it? So what are we supposed to do? When, Steve, is it in your mind okay to start talking about Juan Soto? Should we not have this? Should we pause this discussion and pick it up? And when is July okay for you? Should we go down?
No,
is it about the postseason?
No.
Okay, so
no.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe when the team is on the skids a little bit and it doesn't look like he's supporting the rest of the team, or he looks unhappy, or he's sulking. So, I mean, maybe at that point, but just respect the fact that what he said from the Athletic, whatever the guy,
Will Savitt,
the article, the guy, he gave his answer. He's just, so of course, we've got to overanalyze
it. No, we're not.
Half the people hate the media and half the players hate the media.
Steve, we're not overanalyzing. We're talking as sports fans. You're a sports fan, right?
Absolutely, man.
When you talk to your friends, Yankee fans, Met fan, whatever, do you talk about Juan Soto or no?
Yeah, I do. I'm a Yankee fan, but I don't overanalyze the Mets situation, but I don't go into the particulars of such a trivial aspect.
It's not trivial. That's what you're missing, and thank you for the call. It's not trivial at all. I don't understand how you missed that. So in your mind, Steve, who, by the way, you just admitted you're a Yankee fan and you're still talking about Juan Soto. And why is that? Because that's what sports fans do. We talk about big things like Juan Soto. It's not trivial. It's now... People were saying the same thing when I said it 3 weeks ago about Juan Soto pressing. Oh, he's pressing. It's 18 games. Then it was, it's 20, 25 games. Now it's 29 games, 30 games. And it's the same thing. And there was an article. We talked about it to start the show before the article came out, or at least before I was aware of the article from The Athletic about where's the Soto shuffle. So it wasn't just focused on that. All I was saying was my perspective. It is a near perfect start to the Mets season. There's one glaring thing missing that is preventing me from enjoying it to the fullest.
I get it. I listen, you want to see him hit some moonshots, man. I understand. That place is going to go bonkers when he starts hitting them. So it's coming. Now, to what extent? I don't know. It could be a bit of a diminished year one. I would probably at this point bet more on that happening. And when I say diminished, I don't mean like woefully below what he's expected to do. But maybe not the numbers all you guys thought that you were going to get. But go back to, and that probably would correct itself next year, but go back to when he said, now he's not a Yankee fan, so it's a little bit of, he is a Yankee fan, yeah. It's a little bit of a different conversation, but I would imagine if I'm a Met fan and I've got my Mets, you know, WhatsApp chains and my threads yeah. and my boys, or I'm playing golf or I'm doing this and we're talking Mets, there is no way if you're a Met fan that you could talk about the Mets and not wonder, why does he not look a little better? And that's what we're asking.
I mean, come on. And that's why I think that either Met fans are ignoring it, they're in denial, they're sweeping it under the rug, and it's easier to do that with Alonso going nuts, with Lindor.
With them winning.
With them winning. Now, if it weren't, then everybody else would be like, ooh, yeah, you guys are right, brother. But it's a Juan Soto's a major talking point. And the fact that the Mets deserve a ton of credit for being where they are without Soto having a high impact, or the highest of levels of impact, which we expect. So that's a part of it too. But I'm just saying that I want to see more from Juan Soto. I don't think that that's unfair. Not worried about it. I'm annoyed about it. Milton is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Like always, great job. Sports talking is realist. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Let me tell you what's going on. I'm going to give you the answer right here. I'm Puerto Rican. I have a lot of Dominican friends. It's very easy to pinpoint what's going on. When he was on the Nationals, he was the man. He helped them win. Rookie, oh my God, Soto's here. He was the focal point. When he went to the Padres, there was a lot of Dominican, a lot of Puerto Rican players. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, they've seen. All you do is celebrate like that in Santo Domingo. Throwing bats, shuffles, crowd going crazy. It's nothing new to those players. So when he went to San Diego, the job was to get it done. And it was not impressing them. He didn't like that. So he had to leave because he wants to be the man. When he went to the Yankees, a bunch of young Hispanic players looking up to him. He's teaching himself. Judges welcoming him. The bleacher creatures. He was the man. He was wanted. He was looked as the savior. He's coming to the Mets. He takes all this money, and Lindor looks at him and says, dude, I don't care about the stuff you do. You're here to win. You got paid? Help us win. He doesn't like that. He likes to feel like he's the reason.
Hold on a sec. Let's backtrack. Interesting. I think everything that you set up into that point, the Padres dynamic, the Yankee dynamic, check, I'm with you. But I think that's a little bit unfair to Lindor. Like, you kind of brush that line aside. I mean, you make it seem like it's Lindor's fault that he didn't get him in the right mental state to hit.
BT, I apologize. I don't mean to focal on Lindor.
Oh, okay. I just said
Lindor because I'm saying as a team, there are enough players. The Mets did great last year. Mm-hmm. He's coming there to take them over the top. This is not where the Yankees haven't won a World Series, haven't been to a World Series in 2009. We finally made it with him. Yep. This is not the Nationals where, oh my God, he took an unknown team to a World Series. When he went to San Diego, they already were made. They were a great team. They had Hispanic players. This is nothing new. So when he's coming to the Mets, it's similar to San Diego. So he's not getting that, you know, we love you. Oh, my God, looking up to him like, oh, my God, Soto is here. So he doesn't like that. I know these Dominican players are like that. They want to be coddled.
Well, the fans are
on the back.
The fans are giving it. The fans are showering him with that.
It's diminished a bit.
He's not hitting. But, I mean, from the jump they did, they were so enthusiastic that he signed with the Mets.
You got to understand, it's the inner locker room, man. It's the feeling about the players looking up to him. It's not happening. He's not feeling like these guys, you know, open arms and you're coming to save us type of thing. They're like, listen, my man, come here. Do your, you know, it's not the same. But eventually, what I feel like is going to happen is he's going to go off against the Yankees. Because I'm a Yankee fan. I know it's going to happen.
You know what's coming,
though. I know it's coming. I'm going to be sitting there ringing a cowbell in Yankee Stadium. And he is going to go absolutely nuts. It's going to turn around for him. He's going to get that smile back, and the players are going to love him for it. It's just that right now, he's not getting coddled the way Dominican players love it.
Make sure you come see us, Milton, that Friday night. We'll be there, right field, first row. Come say hello to us with your bell and all. I do agree that that's what's going to happen, but, I mean, we could just think that that's what's going to happen, and you don't know. What if it goes the other way? What if Soto struggles at Yankee Stadium and it goes the other way? See, that's why I say that that's the biggest series for me of the regular season, because it will show what type of year I believe what type of year we're going to get from Juan Soto. The Juan Soto that the Mets bought, the Juan Soto that I fell in love with the postseason in 2019, what he did with the Yankees last year, that Juan Soto would torch the Yankees in their stadium, all the booze. This version of Juan Soto, I'm not so sure. I believe it's still going to come out. But if it goes the other way and he grounds it to double plays, or he strikes out with guys on and feels the booze, and the Yankees end up winning that series, then I would be concerned about at least the year with Juan Soto.
If I could pick my spot, right, lean into this Yankee Met thing here, where during that series, I don't even know that I would pick an 0 for 4 at the plate, I would take a line drive that's at him.
Yeah.
Okay. Where he takes a step in, and now you know you cooked. You can't recover once that first step is in. And then it ricochets off the fence, and it's not a catch. You got to make the play. It's a gross misplay, and just the serenading of booze, and I will be in the middle of it because I will be one row behind him. To me, that is a perfect backdrop for a perfect mid-May night in the Bronx.
And I'm going obviously the other way. I want to see balls flying over our head. Multiple. I want to see multiple. Hey, it's going to be fun. And I honestly, BT, like, it bothers me that we even have to have this conversation, but it is the conversation.
I don't think it's unfair at all.
Everything else is perfect. Soto, the fact that he's not feeling it for whatever reason does lead to speculation as to why. Is he pressing? Is he not having as much fun for whatever? Like, there's a lot of thoughts in there. Eventually, I shouldn't say nobody. I'm not worried about him. I know you aren't. I know the majority of people aren't worried about Juan Soto. He's the surest bet that you could make. Mm. But I didn't think that this would happen 30 games in, and here we are.
Neither did I. I thought he'd come scorching out of the chute, and, you know, he would make us, from a Yankee perspective, like, oh, God, look at him. Look what he's doing for the Mets here. And then, obviously, more importantly, for the Met fan base, the expectations would, and the juice would soar through the roof, and it still very well might. The one thing about Juan that is indisputable, all right, is that he has had a transient career where he bounces around. And again, some of it is very circumstantial, like the Nats didn't want to quite pay him, the Padres owner died, the Yankees, and he was going to give him the money.
Yep.
The Yankees obviously came about as correct as you could come, but he didn't want to take the Yankees' money. Okay. But, you know, there's a lot of backstories and back channels, like why he left the previous spots that he was in. Maybe, now that doesn't necessarily impact that he's not going to have a great Mets career, but, you know, maybe he's the kind of guy that is just not happy in one place. And if that's the case, well, then that's a deeper discussion and maybe a deeper issue for the Mets, but at this point, it's too early to worry about
that. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation with your calls, 888-808-1019.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Had my car picked up, had to get service, and I finally, naturally, the car was going to be serviced. Usually they give a car wash, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was waiting for. Like, I was like, all right, let me, instead of just going to get the car washed, let me just get everything done at once. Mm-hmm. Oil change, tires, whatever, they'll wash the car. Conveniently, of course, this weekend, the car wash was down. Some pump broke or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. Pick up the car up. Now I'm going to find a car wash on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had an issue before at a car wash my entire life.
Okay.
And yesterday, took it through the car wash, some spot in Jersey, like hog wash, car wash, or some whatever turns out.
Do you stay in the car or you get out? What type is it?
Get out.
Yeah, you have to because you got to do the inside more thoroughly.
Big line. I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I needed to get old. I couldn't wait. Watch it go through the thing. I love
that. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is a great feeling. Very gratifying.
Yeah, I love it.
And especially for me because it's been a while since I've done it.
Oh, yeah. Get off that grime.
And then I see it come out and I'm like, it doesn't look washed.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
No, I'm not. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the car. I'm like, this doesn't look washed at all. It still looked dirty. And one of the guys around there seeing me look at it. I'm like, does this look clean to you? He's like, no, it doesn't. And he starts going, oh, it looks like the paint job's like 20 years old. I'm like, bro, the car's 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's the water. And like now, instead of just saying like, hey, I'm sorry that you're not happy with it. You want to just run it through again or whatever. I'm not looking for money back. I don't even care. I just, like, I want the car to be washed. Not expecting it to be perfect. That'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
But he starts blaming me. Oh, no, how old's the paint job? Would you keep it under sprinklers and the Jersey water?
It's always Sal's fault.
Yeah. I'm like, A, it's a three-year-old car.
Yep.
B, it stays in a garage. So you're 0 for 2. And the fact that you're even questioning me, he's like, oh, bring it around. We'll take a little thing. And eventually I was just like, you know what? I appreciate the effort. Whatever. It left. Paid the money. Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Took it to another spot.
Sounds pleasant.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This is my point. I've never done that before. One car wash to another.
Uh-huh.
Took it to the other car wash. Cheaper, I might add.
Okay.
$20 cheaper.
Well, how much do they charge?
$40-something. I get the max.
For the whole spiel,
I was like, just give me the whole, I need whatever the max is.
Yeah, no, of course. Inside, outside.
They tried to sell me on the monthly. I was thinking of you.
Monthly's phenomenal.
I'm not
doing
the monthly.
Pays for itself.
Yeah, thank God I didn't do it.
If it actually washes the car.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't seem like it does.
So I had to take it to another spot, and then it was a pro. Now, again, was it perfect? No, probably should get it detailed if you want it perfect, but it did the job. It looked like it was, you know, washed. Have you ever had that happen before?
Honestly, not on the outside. The outside is, they've got like the pink foams and the yellow foams, all these different colored foams. I'm like, oh, this is glorious. I love it. And so I really do watch the process. It's always clean on the outside.
Right.
Always like, but it's also 8 months old,
right.
You know. But
fair
even
enough.
When,
your
know,
older cars, whatever, you would still do it.
Sure,
you just know the shine that a new wash provides.
Sometimes they're a little lackadaisical on the vacuum.
Right.
Generally not, though. Where they do kind of miss is where they kind of rush it, because now you've got like five or six cars that have already come out. So they're already washed, and you've got to, and listen, they work hard. I'm not trying to make their lives tougher than it really is. I mean, they're getting after it. They're getting their hustle on. I respect it. But you got like five or six people, and they're jumping from car to car, you know, closing the, you know, whatever, with the window, with the spray. Now, I really have an issue. I know I do it nicely, but I really have an issue, and it's every freaking time. Like, I see dust where, like, I keep my coffee or where I keep change, like, and I'll move the change for them. And I'll always say, now I'm at the point I just ask for the spray and for the rag myself.
I do.
But, like, that's unacceptable. Like, I think I'm a pretty easy customer, man. I'll give you a little tip. I'm going to treat you the right way. I'm going to be a good person to you. But it's not cheap. And if I walk out and my car's not clean, you got to do it again. Like, I hate to be that guy, but, I mean, but that's emblematic of service
everywhere.
All around. Customer service stinks. You can't get anybody on the phone. Everybody's rude. Nobody cares. It's all automated. It's just hard.
And usually I just take it. Like, I'll accept it and say, okay, the way I get back or when is just, I'll never go there again.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, like you said, the inside, there's always a spot. You know, the spot where you put your foot on the door to get out?
Uh-huh.
Like, that always gets messed up. And then they always neglect to clean there for whatever reason. Certain spots inside. I take the L on that. But if your car doesn't look like it was just washed after you run it through
that
thing.
That's a problem.
That's why I brought it up. I really like, I think his machine or something must have been off, because they look like it was washed, bro. He's like, what kind of wash you get? Oh, the Max, whatever you.
the Max.
Oh, it looks like it's 20 years old.
Only the best, whatever you got. Hook it up,
come on, bro. Anyway.
Now, when you were younger, you're the kind of guy, I know that you talk about chubby Sal back in the day, so this might not have been your thing, but will you would take the shirt off kind of guy,
never.
Blast the music, wash the car with
my father did that.
Oh, I used to do that all the time.
My father would make sure, you know, he was a car freak.
Yeah, I know.
He would make sure that any of our cars, he hand-washed himself.
Really?
Oh,
with the turtle wax? The green turtle wax thing?
That's exactly right.
Yeah?
He'd do the soap and water himself, put it in a bucket, use that brush, scrape that thing down.
I love doing that. That was before I fell in love with Arborvitaes. That was my first love. My first therapeutic thing.
You know what? Looking back, I know why he did it. Not only did he love it, because he wanted to get it done right. And really, that's the way to do it. You have to do something. You want your car clean?
Uh-huh.
Nobody's going to clean it better than you can yourself.
I used to go, this is when I'm still in college, right? Real fast. So this is how much further money used to get you back in the day. So my dad would give me maybe 20, whatever. I was going to see my ex-girlfriend in Long Island, right? So I'd have a long drive out there. Southern State coming in from Brooklyn. And where my parents still are, you know, I would go. There was a gas station that eventually, before I get to the Bell Parkway, there was a 7-Eleven. So I had it all mapped out. I'm like, all right, $10 worth of gas. I go to 7-Eleven, get a tin of Skol, Long Coat, Wintergreen. I had my whole thing, right? $20, I would, and I'd get the car wash. I'd get a car wash, I'd get $10 of gas, and I'd get a tin of Skol for $20, dude. Yeah. 20!
And then would you take your girlfriend out to eat?
Well, I mean, you know, I that's a good question. I didn't really have a lot of money. I don't know what the hell we did. Our parents had a few bucks.
Little Taco Bell or something. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Max is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Max?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
so,
Max.
The whole Judge freak out, maybe freak out is an overstatement, but we all agree Aaron Judge last year had one of the greatest seasons of all time, right?
Yep.
Do you remember what he was batting at this point last year?
About 180, 190. It was awful.
Yeah, yep. Brutal April.
One clean beat with the 720 OPS. They showed it on the screen during the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Soto's batting 250 with a 380 OBP, and I feel wildly disappointed. This is his four. This speaks to the testament of how great this guy is. My only complaint is that it's delaying me throwing it in the face of my Yankee fan friends in BT. The Mets got Juan Soto, and we're the big dogs.
See?
In
but Matt,
the guy's been playing to his absolute core, and we're the best team in baseball.
I appreciate
that
honesty.
And let's go, Knicks.
There you go,
I appreciate that. That's honest right there. I'm fine with that.
It took us 2.5 hours, but that's the point. Nobody's worried about Juan Soto long term. I want to start enjoying our new toy. I want to start rubbing it in. I'm tired of hearing about Ben Rice in 22. I'm tired of hearing about Trent Grisham. I'm tired of watching Juan Soto struggle and not look happy and not see the shuffle. That's all. I'm entitled to feel that way, and Max is right along with me. We know it's going to turn, but it's been 30 games.
A little frustrating with the half a homer still up there.
Yeah, 3.5 homers.
Here's a pop-up to Soto and Wright.
That's what I'm saying. There's... Put it this way, there's been more mishaps than there have been shuffles.
Okay, that's true. That's kind of accurate, too. All right, we think it's going to change. We know he's not going to hit 250 on the year. But if I asked you right now, I want numbers from you. I'm going to write this down.
I think you're the one to ask about this, but yes, I'll play the game.
We'll both do it, and I will jot it down. I've got a nice little notebook here.
Thanks to Thomas Dimitroff and friends.
Yep, nice leather-bound legal pad here. It is called Summer Sports.
Yeah, okay.
I usually have my legal pads anyway, okay. But this is like bounded. This is actually really nice here. All right, so give me, I want average home runs, RBIs, OPS from you, and then I'm going to give you mine as well.
Now you're saying what I think he's going to do
at
this point?
Where you think he is.
Ooh,
Sal in that column, Soto the topic.
I'm going to say 280.
280.
What else do you want from me?
9 points lower than a year ago. Home runs.
This
is the toughest one.
Yeah.
Jeez. He had 40 a year ago, as you know.
Yeah. I'm going to go 30.
Ugh.
I'll go 31 for Piazza. 31.
Ugh.
I mean, it's not that bad.
Come on there. All right.
Well, think of it this way. For him, 22, 34, 13, 29, 27, 35, 41. So 31 is really, that's actually still, for him, a good power year.
That's why I always said I thought last year was a little misleading with the home runs. Even though he didn't use the porch, he hit a lot of oppo. Either way, 31. Okay. RBIs here.
100.
Okay.
Now, I'm shooting for the stars still.
I got
you. But even with that, that's still... 10, you know, 9 fewer than the last 2 years. I'm trying to go based off of career average. So I'm still going 31, 100.
280.
280, which is high.
What's the OPS? This is more interesting than anything.
I'm going to go 900, which is, for him, not good. That's not good enough.
Nope, that's a drop.
50 under his career, 89 under what he did last year, 30 under what he did the year before. So that would be... That's a slow year. And I'm at this point, I feel like being optimistic with the 900.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you mine. I jotted these down. These will be referenced from time to time here on the BT and Sal show, hopefully with glee.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure if he starts going nuts, I will not bust out this book.
Because I still bet the over-under with you.
And I got the over with Pete.
Right, which you're probably going to hit.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, the home runs. And
I love Pete. I've always been a big Pete fan.
I had the OPS with Soto, and I think it was 950.
You did have the OPS. Now, he is projected. There is no way he's going to do this. But based on the 29 games he's played, the length of the season, He is projected to have 17 home runs and 67 RBIs.
Total for the year?
That's what he's projected to do.
Oh, come on. That would be a disaster.
That would be of the highest disaster. Yeah. Unless he got
hurt,
God forbid.
That's a Beltran-like year one disaster.
That is, no, even Beltran had more RBIs. That is just gross. He's not doing that. All right, so me. So, recap. Sal, 280, 31 bombs, 100 ribbies, 900 OPS on the nose. Mm-hmm. Me. Take the under for the 280.
Okay.
Barely.
Figured you would. Where are you
279.
Going? 279. Okay. No, really?
Just a little symbolism there.
Come on.
Keeping the 270s. All right. Home runs. 29.
Okay. So you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just go all the way under. You know what you want? You want to say 25. Well, you want to say 270.
It's important. Like, you have them in the 280s. I got them in the 270s. Right. You have them 30 home runs. I got them in the 20s.
Yeah.
RBIs. You have them at 100.
Yeah.
94.
I still think that that's high. Even your year, I would take. I'd be disappointed, but I'd still take it.
Yep. And a OPS of 9. I mean, he's still going to get his walks. That's, he's not going to lose that. I'm going to say we'll go slightly below 9.
So in the 8.
Eight. I don't want to be disrespectful. 891. Now, if he were to go for you, 280, 31, 100, and 900, 100 ribbies, 900 OPS, what kind of grade would you give him? A B? Is that a B kind of a season?
Which one? If he did
what you said he was going to do. 280, 31 home runs, 100 ribbies, 900 OPS.
I would say B, maybe B plus.
Okay. Now, to me, if he goes for mine, 279, 29, 94, 891, that's a B minus to me.
Yeah, similar.
That's a B minus.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, we're both in the ballpark there. And really, it should be higher than both of ours to be an A or an A plus. All right. Mm-hmm. BT and Sal on the fan.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sal. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Bottom of the Mets lineup looking a lot better with the return of Francisco Alvarez and Jeff McNeil.
Yep.
I wasn't sold on McNeil. I was saying the Mets should trade him before the year, but you forget how good of an offensive player. Actually, defensively, too. I know he butchered the ball Friday night, should have made that play, but he's versatile. He's serviceable in even center field. Can play any of the outfield positions, can play second, can play third.
Yep.
He is a useful player, especially when he's hitting the way that he is to start when since he's come back.
Yeah, he's hitting the ball very well. Mendoza said something, and it's kind of counter to what I always thought, and I'd like to probe a little bit more deeply into it. I mean, if we ever get Mendoza on the show, I'd love to get his thoughts on this or have somebody follow up. But, you know, he said when McNeil's pulling the ball, that means he's good. Generally, it's the opposite. Like, when you're hitting the ball the other way, that means you're seeing the ball and you're confident enough to let it travel deep and you're going to hit it left field as a lefty and up the middle, which generally has always been the thought that means that you're in a good spot. That's why, like, when you see Volpe go to right field or try to, which he doesn't do enough, that's a good philosophy. That's a good thing. That's why the high average hitters like a Mattingly, like a Box, like a McNeil when he won the batting title, uses the whole field. So I was a little surprised. And I'd like to know the baseball reasoning behind that. But the bottom line is this. Yeah, the lineup got deeper. And there's really no end at this point. It's fairly circular, which is good.
And we talked a little bit about the Yankee lineup as well. I think they do need to make some changes, BT. What would you do, though? Because the problem is that nobody is really, you know, the main guys who are hitting. It's not like Boone could just switch and say, let's put this guy here. You know, let's move Austin Wells up. He's struggling as well. I mean, are you talking about less playing time potentially for Bellinger? I'm assuming their best lineup would be Rice at DH, right? You can have Rice DH.
Honestly, it's going to sound crazy, but I might run Grisham out there for a little bit against righties.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
I know he batted first last night.
But I was going to have Grisham in center and Rice as the DH, which would mean Dominguez in left, which would mean Bellinger out. Like, either way, the problem is that with Rice, their best players are all in the outfield. The problems right now offensively, second base, third base, shortstop. Catcher.
But basically the entire infield.
That's what I'm saying. So now you have a logjam. And even with the idea of Stanton coming back to be some kind of a savior, well, that's great. But the problem is when Stanton comes back, one of the other guys is going to be out. You can't have Grisham, Judge, Bellinger, Dominguez, Rice, and Stanton all in the same.
There's no chance you could have that. It's impossible.
You can't even have,
unless you start catching Rice a little bit, which has been floated out there. But that's not going to happen. Doesn't seem like it is.
So, point is, they have a problem. What would you do here with this Yankee lineup? Are you playing Grisham every day until he cools off?
I mean, why wouldn't you run him out there? I mean, maybe a tough lefty.
All right, then who's going to sit?
I mean, Ben Rice has cooled off a little bit here. So,
but still, if Ben, I know he's cooled off a little bit, but he's been one of their better offensive players.
He definitely has. Listen, you have to run Bellinger out there. You're not going to.
What about Dominguez?
I mean, I think maybe you go a little bit more platoon based with Dominguez, which they've kind of done a little anyway.
So all right. So then
think about this though. But Dominguez hitting .315 against righties from the left side. He's pretty woeful.
Okay.
From the right side, so it's easy to justify sitting Dominguez against a righty.
Okay.
Against a lefty. Yeah. So that solves that. For now.
Okay, so fair enough, but still, Rice, you want Rice in that lineup?
I do, definitely.
You want Grisham in center, Bellinger, Judge in the outfield, then it would be a Rice-Dominguez platoon, which is not great because you're still losing. I mean, Dominguez against...
Well, because they're both good from the left side, so it's kind of neutralizing the other. I know what you're saying.
I mean, okay, so even if, let's say, forget Rice for a second, you bring Stanton back, and then you have Dominguez-Stanton platoon... DH, okay, fine. One righty, one lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one's better against righty pitching, one's better against lefty pitching. Still doesn't get Rice in the lineup. You want to get Rice in that lineup, then you have to have Dominguez in the outfield, and then you have to sit either Bellinger or Grisham. You can't put Bellinger at first because you got Goldschmidt, who's one of your best players. Their best offensive players all play the same positions, so you're kind of stuck with, and one of them is Bellinger, who is struggling, one of the outfielders, but you need to go with him because he's supposed to be one of your main guys. But Jazz, Volpe, Wells, Peraza, like that's where the Yankees, they have major issues with that lineup.
Yeah, which is why I didn't love them coming in. I mean, every time we talk about the Yankees and this comes up, I'm like, I'm not really surprised here.
But what do you do to fix it?
Here's the first thing I'm going to do. Now, it's probably a little tough to do this during the season. This is more an off-season thing. I'm getting Ben Rice at third baseman, Smith. Learn how to play third base, dude.
I mean...
Learn how to play third base.
I know, but now we're
getting
out of control.
You're going to hit more than DJ. You're going to hit more than Cabrera, and neither one is Greg Nettles or Brooks Robinson at third base with the leather. So, I mean, if Ben Rice could... Now, I'm not saying he was a great catcher, but if you have... At the lowest level, which I would have to think he has, even though he doesn't catch at the major league level, just an average like receiving skill set as a catcher... Like, literally behind the plate. I think if you have a willingness to keep a ball in front of you with a decent arm, which I think Ben Rice does, I think you could be an adequate third baseman. I'm trying to think outside the box, because to your point,
you have no
otherwise, I'm going to sit here and say there's no solution. Right. So I'm going to come up with a solution.
Cabrera's been a major problem in the field as well. I know offensively he's okay.
Yeah, I know. He's shy, air-mailed the other day.
Everything. He's been a butcher in the field closely.
I know. Listen, I do think that there's a big difference. While they're all struggling, like Jazz, we talked about that in the first hour, Volpe, they are whiff machines. I mean, Jazz is striking out 33.5% of the time. 33.5% of the time. That is his strikeout rate. That is gross.
How about simple solution for now? Okay, let's ask it this way. What would you do with Bellinger?
I got to keep playing him.
In front of Judge? Where would you put him in the lineup? Behind Judge? In front of Judge?
I would try to ride the wave of Judge behind him to get him going.
Right. You have to. I would probably do the same thing. Then how would you break up, if you do that,
how do I break up Jazz and Volpe? I've got an answer for you.
Well, they're going to have a lefty that goes in between Judge and Goldschmidt in your scenario.
Yeah, and that lefty, to me, it still should be Wells. See, here's the thing. I watch Volpe, and I hate his approach. I watch Jazz. I can't stand this approach.
Well,
I watch Austin Wells. I know he's hitting .220-something, whatever. He's off to a slow start. Even weird because he went yard on opening day. Which I thought was going to portend big things, and I still think he's going to be a plus stick. I have no doubt about that. But even when he's in a funk, at least he's grinding. It's not a three. It's not strike one, strike two, good night, sit down. It's foul ball. Now, he still misses some balls up in the zone. I don't know why. That's the Yankees. They got to figure that out. But his eye is much more discerning than Jazz and Volpe. I think he's a good base runner, not fast, but a smart runner. I just trust him. Like, I don't want... I don't want Jazz and Volpe up right now, two on, two out in the eighth or the ninth inning against a good bullpen arm, and the Yankees down a run. I would rather have Austin Wells. I really would.
I'm with you on that. So that's at least one potential solution there. Use Wells to break them up, but then you have Wells in front of Goldschmidt, and then you have to figure out, you know, then I probably have Dominguez, the lefty, behind Goldschmidt.
I'm putting Volpe ninth.
Yeah, I would move Jazz down. The infatuation with Jazz, to me, does not make any sense. And him and Volpe back-to-back, that just can't continue to happen. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll do Knicks next hour. Let's get back to the Soto calls when we come back. Keep up with the baseball theme. Mets, Soto. You want to talk about the Yanks? That's fine, too. We'll do Knicks coming up at 1:20 as they have a big Game 5 tonight, Round 1. Hopefully, BT, they can punch their ticket and get to Round 2. And then it really, the fun really starts to begin. But we'll do that coming up as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.